Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. This is Maxine Marcellini, and my friend Jeannie St. John Taylor is not with us this afternoon. We were having a little bit of station difficulty. But we do have our guests that we're going to be interviewing today, and I think you're going to really love what these ladies have to say. We are come out a little bit of our cold spell here in Portland, Oregon, and it's gotten to be quite a bit milder temperatures for us. Maybe the rest of the week we might even see some sunshine, but whether we see the sunshine outside, we can have the sunshine of Jesus Christ in our hearts, no matter what the weather is doing. So I want to welcome you to our program today. And today we're going to be talking about wounded women. How many of us have been wounded? I'd like to say probably about 100%. If you're not a wounded woman or you don't know one, you're really an unusual part of the population today. But these two ladies that are our guests today, Dean Dyer and Tina Samples, have written a book called Wounded Women of the Bible. Pain experienced by others can give us the strength to make it through the day. And we're finding hope when life hurts. So, Dina and Tina, I'd like to welcome you to the program, and I'm going to say a little bit about who you are. So, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Dina Dyer is an accomplished and acclaimed author of several books. She's in those include Mothers of the Bible, Groovy Chicks Road Trip to Love. I like that title. And The Groovy Chicks Road Trip to Peace. I like that one almost better. She has been a member of the Fellowship of Christian Writers, the Christian Authors Network, Advanced Writers and Speakers Association, and the Amarillo Chamber of Commerce Women's Council. Her resume includes professional author and speaker, professional entertainer, music instructor, missionary, and children's theater instructor. Dina and her husband are parents to Jordan and Jackson and live in Granbury, Texas. Well, Tina Samples is a veteran pastor's wife. For over 20 years, she's an inspired worship leader, worship consultant, and a gifted registered music therapist. That sounds really wonderful. Music therapy sounds like a beautiful field to be a part of. She has written devotionals for Quiet Hour magazine and contributed to The Secret Place, Devotions for Daily Worship, the One-Year Life Verse Devotional, and the newly released Angels, Miracles, and Heavenly Encounters. She's been part of the Guidepost series, True Stories to Answers of Answers to Prayer, Unexpected Answers, and In Times of Change. She and her husband, David, pastor Grace River Church in Windsor, Colorado. They have two boys, Jaron and Zach, and one beautiful daughter-in-law, Jillian. Her resume includes professional author and speaker, teacher, professional entertainer, professional musical theater, and music instructor. Tina has even recorded two CDs of her original music, Captor of My Heart and In His Hands. And I totally wished I'd asked her to sing us a song today. So welcome, Dina and Tina.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being part of our show today. I am really excited to learn what the women of the Bible have to do with the women of today. So what prompted you ladies to write this book?
Tina, you want to tell
the story?
Yeah, this is Tina, and when my husband and I were transitioning from one church to a church plant that we actually started 4 years ago, I started meeting with a few women who were going through some difficult times, and one day came home and said, "Lord, I wish there was something that I could, you know, use to maybe as a Bible study or something like that." And really, in the middle of the night one night, I heard my name called, Tina, really loud. And I sat up in bed expecting to hear my son. And God just said, Tina, women in the Bible who have been wounded. And in my spirit, I said, Lord, do you want me to write about that? And I just felt like there was something there, and yes, he did. And so I didn't know how large it would be. I thought perhaps I would just write something to share and minister to use to minister to these women, and that's how it came about.
And you followed what God had led you to do, and then you brought Dina into it. So, Dina, how did you start becoming part of this project?
Well, Tina and I met a long time ago, almost probably about 15 years ago, as performers in a musical Life of Christ pageant called The Promise. And we just clicked immediately, and we had prayed for years to work together in writing, maybe even speaking and singing. We just didn't know how that would work. And so when she called me and told me this idea and said, would you work with me on it, I feel like I need to ask you. I had more experience just with the book publishing industry. She's a very gifted author, and I knew she had a heart for women and a Bible study writing background. She's written several studies. And so I just said, I'll pray about it, but I think it sounds amazing. And so as we kept praying about it, we felt confirmation that God wanted us to work together. And we did. We started working on the proposal, and then I had a friend that was an agent, and he got involved, and he was excited, and God just kept opening doors, and we kept hearing wonderful things and feedback when we would share the idea. So we knew it was something we needed to do.
And now it's in print, and it really looks beautiful, and the stories that you are telling and the truths you bring forward, I think, are really appropriate for today. So what are some of the stories from the Bible that are going to relate to the women today? Do you want to take that question, Tina?
Sure. There's so many. Dina and I, we sort of sifted through several scriptures and passages, and some of the women that we wanted to talk about were women that you really don't hear a lot about, like the two women in Solomon's court, the widow of Zarephath, Jephthah's daughter, Ichabod's mother, women like that.
Okay, and what are their stories? What are the subject matter that's going to draw us into a story such as Two Women in Solomon's Court?
The Two Women in Solomon's Court deals with friendship and betrayal. And when we've heard the story from the pulpit so many times, but it's always a focus on Solomon's wisdom. But when you take a deeper look at the two women in Solomon's court, you realize that they had several things in common. Number one, they lived together. They knew each other. They lived in the same house. Prostitutes, both of them were prostitutes, but prostitutes or not, they had that one thing in common. But they also were pregnant at the same time. And they delivered each other's babies. In Scripture, it talks about one having her baby and 3 days later the other one, and nobody else was in the house. And then just this betrayal. So you realize that the two of them, they had to have something more in common than just being an acquaintance. There was something more there. And what drove the one who lost her child to take it to the room of this woman that she lived with and knew and worked alongside, to take it to her room and actually take her child and place her baby that she lost beside her friend's. And it's just an incredible story. When you go deeper, you see the wounds of grief and loss and of betrayal and heartache.
And you also see the heart of the mother come through, who was willing to sacrifice giving away her child to keep the child alive.
Yes, and that's one story I think that women can relate to, because I work with a lot of women. I hear a lot of stories as a pastor's wife, and Dina, she ministers to a lot of women too, and betrayal is just so hard for us as women. It's easy to walk away from our friendships, and that's hard to understand.
Yeah, and it hurts. It hurts deep, and most of us have had some experience with that. Dina, let's talk a little bit about which of the ladies that you wrote about strikes your heart the closest.
Well, there were so many that struck a chord, especially as we dug deep, but one of my favorites was when we talked about Hagar. She was the slave to Sarah and Abraham, and she served with her mistress and master for a long time, and she was continually mistreated, but she at one point went back. Even though she tried to leave, God told her to go back and keep serving. And that struck a chord with me, because so many times when we've been hurt by somebody, especially in authority, we just want to leave and get out of there as soon as possible. But God told her to go back, and he told her that he would provide for her. And then later we see that she left not of her own volition, but she left because she was sent away. But God met her again, and he met her in the desert. And God provided for her in miraculous ways. And it showed me again afresh when we were digging into the scripture just how near God is to us. And at one point she says that God is the God who sees me. And it just made me realize once again how God sees every woman. He sees me in my situation. He knows what I'm dealing with and that he cares. He cares about my children. He cares about my job. He cares about every little thing that happens to me. And Scripture is so active. You know, the Bible says that it's active and it's living and breathing. And we found that to be true, that these stories just came alive. The more we studied, the more we learned, the more encouraged we were that God is very present in our lives. And even, especially at the point of our deepest need and our wounds, he's there and he cares. And he has a heart that wants to heal us.
So no matter how alone the ladies listening to this show feel today, God is still watching over them. God is still very near to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
they are really not alone. It's only their sadness and their despair that's making them feel that way. In reality, God is still there, and he's right beside them, and he is going to make a way, as these ladies of the Bible are showing us. So, Tina, let's move back over to you now. With so much domestic abuse taking place today, how do you approach the life of Abigail? You've got her as from abused to adored. How did that happen? What tough choices did she have to stand up and make?
Oh, Abigail, she's such a beautiful character and person and woman in Scripture. And she had a lot of strength and courage. But one of the things that the Scripture talks about is that she lived with a mean and surly man. He wasn't a kind man, and when we read that story of her, it probably wasn't the first time he was aggressive in his speech and talk, and even the servants actually knew that. And one of the things that Abigail did that I didn't really like, I think, when we think about healing and recovery and abuse, is as women, we tend to go into rescue mode, or we try to fix things or to keep the peace. And Abigail, you know, she did a courageous thing, but she also went into rescue mode when David's men came and wanted food, and Abigail's husband said, "I don't know, you go away." And so she sort of fixed that. She went into fixing. She went to get the food, and she sent it to David, and she actually herself went and fell on her face, and it was such a courageous thing to do, because he was going to kill her family. Who knows what would have happened at that moment. But Abigail, she fell on her face, and you know, and she confessed to David, you know, that he was a mean man. He didn't know what he was doing. And sometimes I think women who have been abused and battered and really in physically or emotionally, we tend to lose ourselves in life and in situations, and it's easy to rise up as in fear, or not that she did that, but it's easy for women to do that. And it's a difficult place to be, and it's hard to get out of that cycle. It's very difficult.
I feel Abigail is a woman who went beyond the submissive role that so many women feel trapped in, and especially with an abuser, they sometimes feel they have to kowtow to that. But she had the courage to stand up and bravely do what needed to be done and do the right thing, knowing the husband was not going to approve of that and knowing it could come bad against her. But she still did what she needed to do to protect her family. And so in the end, what does the adored part got to do with it?
Well, in the end, you know, she actually became David's wife and went to live into the kingdom and became just a part of a different world and a different life. And God just adored her in spite of everything that she had to do and live with this man and her husband. And he brought her through everything that she needed to go through. And it was, you could see that her spirit and her character and her beauty was still intact, you know, and what she had to face on a daily basis, no one really knows, you know, but we could see that she still was a beautiful person in that and adored by God, and that's what he does. And sometimes we forget that God still loves us in the midst of our suffering and our heartache and our struggles and our abuse, and it's hard to find our way out of those things.
Yeah, and the times back then weren't quite as compassionate toward women who have been abused either, so she really was stepping out on a limb. But today women have avenues of escape that weren't available back then, and so it is good to see that there are ways, but also that the fear shouldn't bind them. Dina, let's move on to another lady here, because there's different types of pain that some of our listeners are dealing with that you address in this book, and we can keep on going from one to the next here if we wanted to. But one problem I hear from women from time to time is that they're unable to conceive a child. Which story would help them with that?
Well, we talked about several different women in that chapter, and I think that one of them we talked about in the chapter, because we talk about all the different women that couldn't conceive, and there were so many of them in Scripture. But Sarah was one where God really ministered to her, and even though she had to wait and wait and wait and wait on God, he didn't fail in keeping his promise. He came through for her. The same thing with Rebecca. You know, God, sometimes we have to wait so long that we forget that he's still listening. He has a plan. And
right,
he does. Even though we may not get answered in the timing in the way we want, he has a plan. And he's going to come alongside us in the midst of our waiting and teach us and help us grow. And I remember in the story of Sarah that, you know, whenever she found out about Isaac, she laughed. And that God can even give us joy in the midst of our pain and suffering. Sometimes we may not think it's possible, but he is the author of joy. And I've found, as I've had suffering and different things in my own life and had to wait on different answered prayers, that only with God could there be joy in the midst of that, but he makes it possible.
Mm-hmm. Excellent answer. When I look at your book, what I'm seeing is it's not just a book to read. It also is a study guide to this book that we could do with a group of ladies or do as a part of a church Bible study. So
yes,
how would someone use this chapter or the chapters and their study guide?
Tina wrote the study guide, so I'd love for her to address that. I also did
okay.
want to point out that there's a lot of contemporary women's stories in the book as well that go alongside all the biblical stories. So we collected a lot of testimonies from women that have been through these same type of wounds. And to me, that's one of the unique things about it. It's not just the biblical women, but it's also women that have today been through these same kind of things, and God has met them in the midst of their need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good to know.
Well,
okay, Tina, you going to take it?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Talk to us about it.
Okay. The Talk It Out section is basically for small groups, and I just finished teaching it at my church, and it was just so wonderful, and there was so much insight that came forward from these women and stories that they were so transparent about that I really didn't know about them as their pastor's wife, and it was just so wonderful to hear. And then I also hear, I heard from another woman in our church who she's actually doing the study with a friend. So the two of them are actually going through the study themselves. It can be for any group, any size group, large group, small group, one or two. And then the Write It Out section, we wanted to have a place for those women who journal and really process through writing their feelings out and working through
through all of their struggles and suffering in that way. And so the write it out section goes deeper and more in depth and asks maybe a little bit more personal questions. And then Dean and I wanted to have a little box of nuggets for, it's called Hope for the Healing, and there's just a few little things there that you can take hold of and write in your journals or Bibles or paste on your books or things like that. So,
yeah, I like how you've laid this out, because you put some good wisdom in those little Hope for the Healing boxes. Those are really good. Looking at the one on Ruth, allow yourself to journey through the stages of grief. Don't camp out in a grief stage and not move forward. And the third point you make is trust that God still has an amazing journey for your life. And as the ladies would go through that fourth chapter on Ruth, they would come in touch with how Ruth did it, how Naomi did it as her mother-in-law, and see that God still had a plan in the midst of it and a bright future for these ladies.
Yeah.
So one of the questions that I want to ask you ladies is, how can men help relate to wounded women? Because I find in marriage situations, sometimes a wounded woman is tough for a man to understand.
Right. I think men want to fix it. And I know my husband, often he feels helpless because he wants to fix the problem. But I think the best thing for men to do is to know that they're not going to be the ultimate one to fix it. God is. But the woman or the wounded women in their lives need a shoulder to cry on and arms to hold them. They need a listening ear. They need a compassionate heart that's not going to judge or give a quick fix. What do you think, Tina?
I agree. And I also think that the men that I know of that have read the book or are reading it, there's one man who I heard he has a lot of daughters, and so every day he gets up and he reads a chapter, and his goal is to try to understand his daughters and what they're going through as women and maybe hurting women.
That's
and,
a good idea.
So I think that's really important. If a man read this, that I think it would really bring him insight into how women in Scripture, but not only in Scripture actually, but in today's world, as Dina touched on some of these other stories, how they've been wounded, how they felt about that, what happened, how did God heal them, what are some steps that they can take to be healed, and just give them that insight. I think it would help a lot.
Yeah. Okay, ladies, as we get toward the end of the program, would each one of you like to make two major points you'd like our readers of your books to take away with them, our listeners of the show to take away with them today? Let's start with Dina, and then we'll move to Tina. And Tina, when we get to you, would you just speak a little bit louder, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that one of the things I would want to say, Maxine, is that God hurts with us. He's not a distant, far-off God. He's a God that actually cries with us. In the story of Lazarus, when he was at the tomb and Mary and Martha asked him to, you know, they were angry or frustrated or upset because Lazarus was gone and Jesus hadn't come when they thought he should have. We see that Jesus wept. And to me, it's just an incredibly powerful statement that God, even though Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus or that he was going towards that end, he was still in the midst of their grief, wanting to hold on to them and wanting to suffer with them. He had this empathy, and God does that. He empathizes with us. He sent his son to be one of us, to empathize, to take on our weaknesses and to feel everything that we would feel. So I want women to know that God hurts with us. He's not out to get you. He's not angry at you. He doesn't like our sin, but at the same time, he loves us too much to leave us there. And then the second thing I would say is that you're not alone. These women in the Bible and women all around you are dealing the same kind of things that you are dealing with. And if you could reach out, if you could see someone else that's hurting and you could join together, or you could at least pray, God, bring me a friend. Bring me someone that understands. Try not to isolate yourself in your grief, because so many times Satan gets us alone so that he can try to pick us off and he can try to make us more insulated in our grief. So you're not alone, and God is with you in your suffering. He hurts with you.
Excellent point. Tina, how about
Thank you?
I think the first thing I would want to say is that to run towards the light and not the darkness. There's a book that I read, and he lost several members of his family, and he said he had a dream one night, and he was running towards the sunset and trying to catch the sunset, and his sister said, well, why don't you try running towards the sunrise? And it was just such an incredible visual for me that that's what happens to us in life sometimes. We either sit in the darkness or we run towards the sunset trying to catch the light and never get there. When we really need to just run towards the light, and it says that God is light, in him there is no darkness. And the darkness shines as bright as day to God. And so if we can keep our focus on that and run towards him and run towards the light and step into that, it may be difficult, may be hard. Just keep going. Find the light and just get there. Just keep going and he'll help us. The second thing is that sometimes God will bring people into our lives that are in a healthy place and that can help us and come alongside us and walk through us through our suffering and our struggles, walk with us. And we can choose to allow someone to help us or not. In the widow of Zarephath, God sent Elijah to help feed her, but also to feed him. And the widow of Zarephath, she could have turned and walked away and just disregarded anything that Elijah said to her. Go and make some bread and do this and that. She could have chosen not to obey, not to listen to him. She didn't know who he was, but she chose to obey, and she chose to trust in that, understanding that he was there to help her and to walk with her through her suffering, and because of that, she was fed. And he actually brought her to a place where she came to see the true God, and it's just an incredible story. So allow someone to help you. Sometimes we don't want help, and we choose not to reach out and take that hand that's extended to us. But it sure makes a difference when someone can walk with us.
Yeah, the period of pain is usually shortened if we include others in the process of getting ourselves back up.
Yeah.
Ladies, how would people find your book and even some of your music?
Well, Tina has a website. We both have websites, tinasamples.com and dinadyer.com, D-E-N-A, Dyer, D-Y-E-R. And Tina's is just tinasamples, T-I-N-A-S-A-M-P-L-E-S.com. And then Craigle, our publisher, is craigle.com. They can find the book there or on Amazon or at their local Christian store. Ask for it at your local Christian store if you don't see it, because that would sure help us out.
Yeah. Wounded Women of the Bible, listeners. We're talking with Dina Dyer and Tina Samples, and they have written an absolutely marvelous book for all of us wounded women who need to figure out how to come through what life throws at us. Because what I have discovered is that there's not really a new kind of hurt that's come our way, but these are kind of as old as time. People have been dealing with the same struggles we deal with today. Forever. And God has answers that will never leave us. So, ladies, thank you for being part of our program today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have one last question for Tina. What is a musical therapist? And can people find you if they need help?
Oh, well, they can find me on my webpage. Music therapy is basically we take music to achieve non-musical goals. So I work with a variety of people with a variety of disabilities, and I use music to achieve those goals, whether it's to help them with speech and language or education needs or motor skills, things like that.
This reminds me of what I saw going on with Gabby Giffords, the congresswoman that was shot, and her recovery, because some of the things she couldn't speak, but she's able to sing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, if you remember Mel Tillis, remember, he had a difficult stuttering problem, but he could sing like an angel. And speech is on left side of brain, and music is right brain. So it comes from two different sides of your brain.
Well, that is interesting, isn't it? Well, thank you, Dina and Tina. We are so blessed to have had you today. Our time is up, and we wish you a wonderful, beautiful week. Listeners, our archives are available to invite your friends to listen in.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.